Okay, we're about to begin a new sugya, and we just barely scratched the surface of it on Wednesday. We just do a new sugya. The Gemara is discussing the different sources, how we know from the Chumash Tashbich Sav itself that Yom HaRishon doesn't refer to the first day of Yom Tov, rather the first day of Pesach. So one of the sources that the Gemara quoted was the famous Brayis of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said it has to be Erev Pesach, because if it would be Pesach, so then the Torah would be in effect telling us to do something we're not allowed to do. It would be instructing us, commanding us to violate an Isur Malachas Yom Tov, because everybody knows you can't burn something on Yom Tov. That's out of the question. And since Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the view that Ein Biyachom Etzel Asreifa, it's inconceivable the Torah would have been telling us to violate the Isur Malachas Yom Tov. So the Gemara had a comment about Rabbi Akiva, had many comments about Rabbi Akiva, but one of the comments about Rabbi Akiva begins the first of the Ramakomos, Shma Mina Havar L'Chalik Yatzos, that Rabbi Akiva's view is assuming Havar is L'Chalik Yatzos, which we mentioned on Wednesday, does Machlekes HaTanoim, whether Havara is actually less serious, less severe than the other Malachas. According to Rabbi Yossi, Havara is L'Lav Yatzos. The reason why the Torah singles out Havar in Parshas Vayakel is actually to teach me that it's less of an Aveira than other acts of Chilul Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yossi, there are 38 Isurim that carry with them Skila and one that carries only with an Isur Lav. That's Havara. And then Rabbi Nosson says that's not true. B'chol, it's not true. Why is the Torah single out Havara? For L'chalek to teach us the din of how many Karmel Chatzes. You bring the whole story we spoke about a little bit on Wednesday. So comes the Gemara and says that if Rabbi Akiva would have held like Rabbi Yossi, that Havara is only a lav on Shabbos, then Rabbi Akiva's entire proof would have unraveled. And that's really the question that the Rishonim tried to figure out. What would have unraveled about what Rabbi Akiva said? Why does it depend on whether you hold Havara is in a skila or in a lav? Even if it's in a lav, it's still asar. Rabbi Akiva's whole thrust was to show you that it must be that Tashbisu means on Erev Yontif, not on Yontif, because on Yontif would have been a problem. It would have been a problem because you're not allowed to light fires in Yom. And again, don't ask about mitoch and that's the next sugya. But just bear with Rabbi Akiva for a moment that you're not allowed to light fires on Yom Tov. So what's the difference whether you're not allowed to light fires on Yom Tov because it's a lav, or you're not allowed to light it because it's a because on Shabbos it's a skila? At the end of the day, you're not allowed to light fires. At the end of the day, it's also on Shabbos, it's also on Yom Tov. So why did Gemara commit Rabbi Akiva to the anti Havar Lav Yatzos people? So if we take a look at Tosfos on the second Amar Mekomos, Tosfos quotes two interpretations in the Gemara with a real fundamental machlokes between the two. So Tosfos writes at first with the Karle Av Malocha that it's not Rabbi Akiva Shita per se that is forced to assume that Havara is not a lav. In theory, you could hold Havara as a lav, and Rabbi Akiva's proof would have still made a lot of sense. It's a lav. It's Aser. My nafkaminin is a skill, it's love, who cares? If it's Aser on Shabbos, it's Aser on Yadiv. And if it's Aser on Yadiv, then it's impossible for that to be Tashbisu. The Gemara is mokor to say that Rabbi Akiva can't be a lav person because Rabbi Akiva used the phrase, Umatzino havara shi av malocha. And the term av malocha has a certain connotation to it. Av malocha on Shabbos means skill, koris, chatzis, etc. So Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have used the misleading terminology of Av Malacha if he didn't mean it. But that proof of the Gemara, according to the first Dan Tosas, is a literary proof. It's a linguistic proof. It's a textual proof. There's nothing to do with Halacha per se. No matter what you think Havara is, whether you think Havara is a Malacha, you think it's not a Malacha, you think it's a Koris, it's a Skila, it's a whatever it is, you can't do it on Yantif. The bottom line is, if you can't do it on Shabbos, you can't do it on Yantif. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva conceptually could be bringing a raya that Tashbis was Erev Yom Tov, no matter how he holds on the view of a lav al chalik. The proof of the Gemara was from the lashon Rabbi Akiva, the karli av malacha. That's what points us in the direction. Oh, Rabbi Akiva must be a non-lav person. But it's now the second day in Tosfos that opens up the sugi for us. Eidam Arifa. Says the Riva, the proof that Rabbi Akiva is not a lav person is a much more profound proof than the first pshat. It's a halachic proof. Namely, we have a fundamental question. Min haTorah, are you allowed to light fires on Yontif? Now, don't get confuse us with the Issa D'Rabbanan of striking matches and rubbing sticks and stones together. We're not learning that sugya right now. And don't confuse us with mitoch, because half the time you're allowed to light fires because it's tzachol nefesh and tzachol. Don't mix up all those things that we know from Ilchus Yontif. Don't confuse into the sugya right now. It's not me speaking, it's Tosfos speaking. Says Tosfos, I want to know one question. I know that I'm not allowed to do malach on Yontif. The Torah says, Ko malachas avayda l'sasso. I'm not allowed to write on Yontif, I'm not allowed to do my laundry on Yontif, I'm not allowed to do machmir patish on Yontif, I'm not allowed to plow my field. I got all that. I want to know, says Tosfos, am I allowed to light fires on Yontif? Forget about mitocha, forget echol nefesh, forget all that. Was there ever an issur of lighting fires on Yontif altogether? Why would anybody say otherwise? Why would anybody dream otherwise? Says the Rival, I'll tell you why I dream otherwise. If you hold like Rabbi Yossi, that Havar Lalav Yotzos, so two things now follow. Number one, says Tosfos, if Havara Lalav Yotzos, what that means is, catch this one, there are only 38 malachas on Shabbos. Malacha means skila kares chatas. If those facts are true, that Havara is lalav yatzas. I didn't say it is true, but if it's true, according to Yossi, Havara lalav yatzas, then guess what? Lighting a fire is not a malacha on Shabbos. I didn't say you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. It's what's called an iser Shabbos, shaloi b'taris malacha. And hopefully, as we'll see as the sugi continues, there are several of them. It's a new iser. There are 38 malachas and one new iser called don't light fires on Shabbos. Premise number one, if it's not skila kares chatas, it's not called a shem malacha. Premise number two, if it's not a malacha, then it's not aser on Yontif. We have a rule. Everything's mutter to prove an aser. The Torah only uses the phrase kamalechas avod lo sasu concerning Yontif. The Torah doesn't say whatever you can't do in Shabbos, don't do in Yontif. There's no such phrase. It doesn't say lo sase b'yontif masha aser lasos b'shabbos. There's no such aser. The issue in Yontif is an issue of malacha. There may be a handful of other isurim on Shabbos, which again, hopefully we'll find out fairly soon. There may be a series of other isurim on Shabbos that don't necessarily carry over to Yontif. And Seth tells us one of those isuri Shabbos, Shlomotar's malacha, is Havara, according to Yossi. I didn't say we follow this, but according to Yossi. So Tosfos put together two and two and said, according to Yossi, Havara is not a malacha, because malacha means skila, chatas, kars, etc. So Havara lalav yotzos means it's not a shem malacha. There are only 38 malachas. And whatever is not a shem malacha, by definition, is perfectly 100% permissible on Yontif. And therefore, because those two facts are true, therefore, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is pimpling with the assumption you're not allowed to light fires at Yontif. Why are you not allowed to light fires? Like Becha takes it. Why can't you light fires at Yontif? So the answer is, it must be Rabbi Akiva's Havar L'chalik Yotz. It must be Rabbi Akiva's not a Rabbi Yossi person. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, Havar L'lav Yotzos, there would be nothing to discuss. It's Heter Gomel L'chad Chilish L'chad Chila to light a fire on Yontif. There's no Isser, never was, never is, never will be an Isser to light a fire on Yontif if you hold Havar L'lav Yotzos. So these are the two assumptions that go into the reverse pshat. Assumption number one is, if it's not skila, it's not a shem alocha. Assumption number two, if it's not a shem alocha, then it's mutar on Yontif. So the first of the assumptions is far from accepted by everybody. The Minchas Chinuch has a kasha, me'atzmo against Tosfos. Minchas Chinuch is an achor, he's not arguing with Tosfos. He says, he's a pelas, a tzorchi involved in Tosfos. He doesn't understand the reverse first assumption. Just because the Torah says you're not chayav skila on it, why does that detract from a shem malacha shema? We're about to start Parshas Truma, the Parshas of the Mishkan. The definition of malacha means the ma'isim that were done in the Mishkan. Was Havara done in the Mishkan? Of course it was done in the Mishkan. If it wasn't done in the Mishkan, how in the world did they figure out how to melt metal? Of course they lit fires in the Mishkan. We know that. So comes Bechus Chinuch and says, if Havara was practiced in the Mishkan, so it was a malacha. Whether or not there happens to be an einish of skila to it, that's a quirk in Uchas Einshin. But the lack of skila doesn't detract from the Shem Alocha. Are you going to tell me, says Ben Chasnidich, that there were only 38 malachas when Moshe Rabbeinu gave, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes out from Sinai, and everybody else thought there were 39 malachas. Rabbi Yosef thought there were 38 malachas. How are you talking? So the Rival and Tosfos would say, yeah, you're talking, yeah, there were only 38 malachas. Avi Shteita had to be 39. 38 malachas also, but 38 malachas plus it is Ravar. Kwet Mechaschinach, it can't be. Kwet Mechaschinach, Issa Malacha, it's in full force. Chol Tekfo, it's an Issa Malacha. It's an Issa Malacha with a Ptor Skila. If that's the case, that it's a shame Issa Malacha with a Ptor Skila, so it doesn't impact Yomdiv. So on Yomdiv, it's a Malacha, it's a Malacha, it's Kamalach Zeven Lasasu. So the first premise of the Rival is questionable, but that's the lesser controversial of the two. The real controversy, hopefully, that you're going to discuss now is, wait a second, it's not a malacha, and therefore it's mutter and yontif? Is that true? Well, the Mishnah says in Megillah, ein bein shabbos yontif elo eichel nefesh buvad. Is that an absolute chayk lo yavor? Whatever you can't do on Shabbos, you can't do on yontif? Or ein bein shabbos yontif means, ein bein shabbos yontif vis-a-vis hilchos malachas, ein bein shabbos yontif. So that's a loaded question, and that really sets the stage for our next sugya. When we speak about Isurei Shabbos, which is Shalom B'Torah's Malacha, do they spill over to Yontif or not? So the first of the sources about this is the, take a look at the third of the Maamar Kamos, is a Gemara Maseches Chagiga Daf Yud Zayin and Aleph. The Gemara tells us that when a person comes to visit the Beis HaMikdash on Yontif, so you bring your kabbalas, then you have to stay over. You have to sleep over the night. That's what's called a chi of lina, it's ta'on lina. How do you know? Vishteta, where does that halacha say you have to stay over? Come on, bring me, come on, and go out, do on the next bus. Why do I have to stay overnight? So the Gemara has the following derush, Chagiga Yitzhai, the third of the Maamar Kamos. Ma chaga matzahs ta'on lina, av chaga sukos ta'on lina. Just as Pesach requires lina, you have to stay overnight, so do sukos requires lina. The hosam and olam. And how do you know that Pesach requires lina? The Pesach says in Pashas Rei that I bring my my korban and hang around. Which boker is this referring to? Is it referring to boker of Tezvav or is it referring to boker of Tezayin? So the Tosha Rapeh is assuming it's referring to Tezayin. Means you have to hang around the next night. You have to be Tonlina, hang around Yerushalayim a little bit. Then the next morning, Tezayin Nisan, you go back. How do you know it means Tezayin Nisan? Maybe it means Tezvav Nisan. Maybe it means there's no Chiyuv Lina. How do you know, Vishtate, that you have to stay an extra night in Yerushalayim? Who told you that? Babayki refers to Tezayin. So Rashi has the following fascinating comment on the spot, the third of the Maamar Kamos. Rashi says in Chagiga, Shu Chol HaMoed, obviously the Torah is talking about Chol HaMoed. Says Rashi, the Torah could not possibly be referring to Tesvav Nisan. Tesvav Nisan, there's an Issa Tchumen, it's Yontif. So how could the Torah be advocating the guys, the Torah is speaking to the guy in Yerushalayim and say, okay, finish what you're doing, at first thing in the morning on Yontif, pack your bags and go back to Bnei Brak. Go back to Bnei Brak. Chutz Tchumen. So obviously the Torah is talking about Chol HaMoed. Ooh, the Torah is talking about Chol HaMoed. And the Torah said, Baboker, you can't go back at night. You can't get on the first bus after Yontif's over. One day Yontif in Eretz Yisrael. So you can't run back to Bnei Brak on the first night, the night after Yontif. Ufanisa Baboker, you gotta wait it out till the next day. You see, for me, there's a chiyuv lina. So Rashi stuck into this drasha d'oraisa that the source of the Torah Shabbat interpreting the pasuk Baboker referring to Chol HaMoed is that assumption that Yontif would be out of the question to travel because there's this at Chumim. So linked in Rashi, it's obvious from Rashi that there's some kind of deraisa going on here. If Chumim would only have been an Issa derabanan, so then you can't use a principle derabanan to dash the pos deraisa. The pos deraisa is working with deraisatic standards. So Rashi's making a huge assumption in this here. Rashi's assuming that the Torah, not the Chacham, not the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah, Guf HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Chavad V'Atzmo, could not sanction traveling on Yontif because of the concern of Nisat Chumin. So Tosfos takes Rashi to task for this. Tosfos in the fourth of the Maamar Kamos says, wait a second, says Tosfos. That's what forced Chazal to reinterpret the Pasuk Baboike to mean the next day. Pish Rashi, in the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, says Chagiga, yes, and Rashi, Pish Rashi, B'chol Shamoed, the Ibi Yomtiv also b'shem tchumen. Says Tosfos v'lo yitochin. Can't be. It's an impossible pshat. What's wrong with the pshat? That would be true according to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva happens to hold as it is a tchumen on Shabbos b'deraisa. But according to the Rabban Michael Meir, the lake is a tchumen deraisa, and that machlekes Rabbi Akiva and the Rabban is a famous machlekes. Those who learned Tafyomi not that long ago, Eirvin, remember bumping into the machlekes several times. It was a running machlekes Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. How to say pshat in the pasuk? The Torah says in Pashas B'Shalach, you're not allowed to go out. You're not allowed to leave your place on Shabbos. What does it mean to leave your place? So Rabbi Akiva has a whole razzle-dazzle drasha. You know what your place means? That's the source of the Yisr Tchumen. Tchumen, what is Tchumen? You're not allowed to travel 2,000 Amos out of wherever you were Kiddush Shvi'is, wherever you started your Shabbos. Now, you started your Shabbos can mean different things to different people. If you're out in the fields, out in the forest somewhere, so your Mokom is your Daan Amos. So you drew a box of Daan Amos, and you count 2,000 Amos, and that's your Mokom. Yetish, Mokom, Yom Shvi'i. If you go out of that Mokom, Yechayev Malkus. That's an Issa Deraisa. It's a law in the Torah. Yetish, Mokom, Yom Shvi'i. How did Rabbi Akiva know the magic number 2,000 Amos? So the Gemara in Eirvin is a whole complicated drasha called Rabbi Akiva. It says Mokomo, and it says the word Mokom somewhere else, and it says Meir, and it says a whole Chagadja, and it happens to say by the Ari Halevim, 2,000 Amos, Madosem, you know, 2,000 Amosavim, Apayim Amos, Meir Petovich, a whole story that the number, the Mokom that the Torah is referring to, must mean the Mokom of 2,000 Amos. That's the source of Rabbi Akiva, and Chumin of 2,000 Amos is Nisid Der Haisa. The Rabbanon responded back, well, the other Tanan responded back to Rabbi Akiva and said, Lohoyud Vamein. There's no such thing. That doesn't exist. The Mishnah is talking about an Issa of Tchumen. Tchumen, Hakol, Mikol, Kol, is only meant the Rabbanon. There's no such thing as Issa of Tchumen Der Haisa. It was instituted by the Chacham. Why the Chacham instituted? I can understand why. It interferes with Shabbos. It's against the spiritual. I can say a million reasons why Chazal instituted the notion of Tchumen. But Tachlis, Rogel Maisa, say the Rabbanon, the whole institution of Tchumen, lock, stock, and barrel, is on him in the Rabbanon. I said, what does the Pasuk mean? I hate Tishmu Kobi Yomashvi. So the Gemara at the end of the first part of the Erevin gives a totally different interpretation of that Pasuk. The Pasuk is not referring to simply walking somewhere where it's prohibited to walk, because that doesn't exist in the Torah. What the Pasuk is referring to is not to carry. Because let's not forget the original context of that Pasuk. The Pasuk was talking about the Mon. It was talking about Klai Yisrael were instructed not to go out and collect the Mon. That makes a lot of sense because carrying was given to them. So they were already given the issue of carrying on Shabbos. Normally, a person would go out of their tent, they go out of their Rosh Hashanah Yochid, into the street. So the thoroughfares of the midbar, that was Rosh Hashanah. You can't get more Rosh Hashanah than that. Or according to some Rishonim, you need 600,000 people to be Rosh Hashanah. That's where it came from the Diglei Midbar. So the midbar was the ultimate Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says at the beginning of Shabbos, that midbaros, generally deserts, are generally not Rosh Hashanah. If a guy carries now, Mithman is in the middle of Sahara Desert, so that would not be a Nisar Deraisa, even though there are no walls, but it's lacking the Tzur of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because there's no Rabbim there. Who walks the Sahara Desert? There's no major traffic jams in the middle of the desert. So a desert, by definition, cannot be Rosh Hashanah Deraisa. It's only Rosh Hashanah Derabam. It's only Nisar of Kamalas. The only time that it can be Rosh Hashanah Deraisa is Mithman Shishrop HaMidbar. If Klai Yisrael are in the Midbar, so then it's inhabited for that small period of history. Usually the Sinai Desert today, you got a half dozen Bedouins, there's a couple of tourists walking around, and there's nobody there. So the Sinai Desert is not just around, but it's mine, Yisrael in the Midbar. There were 600,000 people with men, women, children, millions of people spaziering around this whole encamped area. That was as Avshis around him. That's what the Pasuk says about the Mekeshish Eitzim. According to one opinion in the Gemara and Shabbos, the Mekeshish's Aveira was that he carried the wood. There were three different opinions. One says that he chopped down the trees, that was the issue. One said he gathered, he was Ma'amir. One says he was Ma'avidat Abbas Bishasarabim. He carried that Abbas Bishasarabim. So he hold it, it was Ma'avidat Abbas Bishasarabim. Then I understand what the Pasuk says. Vayu v'nei Yisrael b'midbar, vayim tu ish b'koshish Eitzim yom Shabbos. Why does the Torah introduce Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar? So many other mefarshim give different interpretations. So some suggest Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar is the introduction to the parasha. Because if not for the fact that the Jews were in the midbar, then there wouldn't have been a nisser of Havar Zal Hamish Rishis Rabbim. It wouldn't have been Rishis Rabbim. So Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar is not just a historical note. If we haven't figured out by Pasha Shlach that the Jews were in the midbar, that means we haven't been paying attention to Leining for the last couple of months. So of course, they've been in the midbar since Peshalach. Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. So now the Chiddush is Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar to tell me because b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, Therefore, what this Mekashish did was a Nisadiraisa. So getting back to the story. So according to the other Tanoim, the Pashas and the Yisrael Al-Yetish Mekayim has nothing to do with walking, has to do with carrying. So Taisa says, if Tchumen is Onamid Rabbanan, so it's very, very hard to believe that the Issa the Rabban of Tchumen is going to impact on the Pshat and the Pasuk, Ufanisa Abayu Alach Kaliyah Alecha. So now Tosus tries to salvage Rashi. V'yesh B'farshim, back to the fourth of Rabbi Kaimus, so the middle of the Taisus in Chagig. V'yesh B'farshim, the Yud Beis Milan is Lushap and the Rabban of Tchumen. That maybe we overdid it a little bit with the Shita Sechachavim. Again, Rabbi Akiva is a Das Yochid, so we're not going to go down that route right now. But according to the view of the Chachamim denied Chumen? Not exactly. But the Chachamim denied Chumen, every time they argue with Rabbi Akiva, they say, Chumen derabbanan, Chumen derabbanan. They're talking about Rabbi Akiva's Chumen. Rabbi Akiva's version of Chumen was the mere 2,000 almas. 2,000 almas is not very far. It's a 15, 20 minute walk. Al zeh nemar, see what Chumen is on with derabbanan. The Chum didn't think that comparison, that derivation from the Ari Halavim was correct. It doesn't mean that the Chum denied Chumen like Gamre. Even the Chum buy into Chumen Deraisa. What's the Shia of Chumen Deraisa? Yud Beis Mil, 12 Mil. That's significantly more than 2,000 Amos. So 2,000 Amos is a nothing. That's 1 Mil. So 12 times that amount. So you're talking about a couple hour walk. And my high, where did the Shia of Yud Beis Mil come? Oh, that's an easy Shia. That's the shear, the size of the Machne Yisrael. The Gemara says we have a tradition that the Machne Yisrael was 12 mil by 12 mil. So that's pretty big. You need a lot of room, 600,000 plus people. It's men, women, children, it's a lot of people. So Yud Beis Mil is huge. So just to give you again a reference point, 1 mil is approximately a mile. A mil is 2,000 amas distance. So it's about a 50 to 20 minute, about a mile. So Yud Beis Mil is an area square of 12 miles by 12 miles. I don't know exactly, but approximately, I know when I drive every day from my house to YU, it's about 12 miles on the odometer. So you're talking about an area from here to Washington Heights, squared. You get a lot of people in there. It's a pretty, pretty big area. So comes and says, there are those Rishonim who say, that the Rabbanim agreed as Tchumen Deraisa, they disagree with Rabbi Akiva quantitatively. They don't think that his number 2,000 Amos is the correct Shir Min HaTorah. That's Tchumen Derabbanim. But the Shir Deraisa is Yud Beis Mil, which would make a lot of sense. Al Yesh Seish Bim Kebe Yamashvi Kipshuto. Don't leave your body. Don't go out of the Machane. Don't go spazierin out of the Machane. Al Yesh Seish Bim Kebe Yamashvi. Because the Gemara tells us that the Medrash says that the people who weren't such big tzaddikim, so their mon fell out of the Machane. The people who are big tzaddikim, so the man fell on the doorstep. The people who are not so good, they had to walk a little bit. The people who had mamash to Rishayim, so their man fell all the way out of the machnas. The Torah was given to everybody. Yetzish kobi yamashvi. Nobody should go out and get the man, because if we tell people to get the man, some of the guys, they have to walk for 3 hours to get their man. It's like a walk from here to YU. You have to walk for hours all the way down Route 4 to the bridge in order to get your man. So Nebuch, every day, they had, what are you going to do? So I guess the Rishayim, if you want to know what people did in the Midbar, so those people who were big tzaddikim, they had to learn Torah all day, they were going to do Mitzvot day, so they had to get them on chit-chak so they can go back to their Avodas Hashem. The people who are getting into trouble anyway, so it's good, you make them busy, send them off for a three-hour hike. It's good, you lose a lot of weight that way. Said, I don't think the bun had too many, doesn't sound like the bun had too many calories anyway to it. So you become very, very trim. You're walking 3 hours each direction, 6 hour day walk to collect your food. So, Yetzi Shukabi, Yamashvi. I remember years ago, there was a one yeshiva, was a drop of one of my contemporaries, a little bit older than me, so he had already gotten engaged a few years before me. So, I remember his vort. So Rabbi Willick spoke, and this particular boy got married to a girl who lived mamash down the block. One of those stories that they knew each other, they didn't really know each other. You know, they were from a very fine boy and girl, whatever. And they met, they quote unquote met, when they got a little closer to getting married, they met, they got engaged. But literally, she lived mamash around the corner. So I remember Rabbi Willick said at the Vort, he said, you know, there's a couple of such tzaddikim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally dropped them on the doorstep. They didn't have to turn the corner even. They found each other. Literally the mud was right there. So it was a beautiful pshat. Wow, you know, such a tzaddik finds his wife, you know, mamash right on the doorstep. So I liked that Vort so much. But then when I got engaged myself, so I don't know, that Vort didn't ring so well with me. My wife's from California. So I had to travel, had to fly for 5 hours to meet my wife. So I didn't like the corollary of that shot was that maybe I was from those people who had to go for 3 hours each day to get their mom. So I stopped saying over that Vort at that point. But whatever it is, whether it's good or not good, whatever it is. I remember when I got engaged. So I came back to Yeshiva and... those are Rabban Chaim, one of the Rashivas by us. So when I told him that I got engaged to a girl from California, so he said to me that the Gemara says in Kiddushin, that the Kiddush Baruch Hu says everybody should get married when they're 18, when they're 20, 20 is the latest. Instead of a person drezach and doesn't get married when they're 20, so Kiddush Baruch Hu says tiyapach etz moysav, that their bones, so much happens to their bones. What does it mean, te'apach tachzbot? So it usually translates to mean that bones should rot, or whatever it is. Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, he's angry at a person for not getting married so young. I did not get married at 20, I got married a few years, significantly older than 20. And so Ben Chaim, when he wished me mazel tov, says to me, he says, you know, te'apach tachzbot yisav. What is te'apach tachzbot yisav? Your bones aren't going to rot. He says, te'apach tachzbot yisav is a losha v'yipach b'yapach nishmas chayim, to blow. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Alta Bocher, he says, listen, you can't find somebody. I'm going to have to pick you up, blow you, throw you on a plane, and blow you 3,000 miles till you find someone who you want to marry. So that was his mild stuff wish to me. So I guess I don't know whether that was a nicer spin than the spin of the Rishonim were collecting their aman, but Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well. And Baruch Hashem, it's well worth it to fly the 3,000 miles to meet my wife. But back to this story. So Taisha says, where those Rishonim who say that there is Tchumim Yeraisa, but Tchumim Yeraisa is Yud Beis Mil. And Taisu says, "Hachi Siv Yushalmi," that Yushalmi actually says this lasha. Mechuvim Mikulin Yerbeis Mili Kedekam Machin Israel. Yushalmi says that if you want to know what the real Shem Mechuvim means, the best, the clearest cheer of Tchumim Derais is Yerbeis Mil. So according to those Yesh Beforshim, we could salvage the Rashi and Chagiga, because Rashi and Chagiga is trying to invoke the sugya of Tchumim to explain how do you know Babaykin doesn't mean Yontif? It must mean Matzoyah. It must mean the day first day Chalamayim. It can't mean Yantiv because this is a Tchumin. So, Taisus, if Tchumin is Derabanan, that doesn't make any sense. No, it must be this Tchumin Deraisa. So, Taisus backs out from that defense. Taisus says, Vashashin lo losvirlei. Rashi says, Taisus says, if you look at our Gemara in the Talmud Bavli, it's highly unlikely that Pshat is correct. So, it's true, it says it in the Rishami, but Taisus doesn't really believe in the heart of hearts that it's true. There are other Rishami. The Rambam does accept the Rishami, but Taisus has a Rai in another place, other Mesechlis from our Gemara. In Talmud Bavli, that's probably not true. And therefore, we who disagree with Rabbi Akiva, really honest to goodness old, that Tchumen doesn't exist, that Minat Torah doesn't exist, Derabban exists, but Minat Torah doesn't exist. Not Yud Beis Mil, not 2,000 Avos, not zero. There is no Tchumen Deraisa. If that's the case, that there's no Tchumen Deraisa, so then we're back to square one in Rashi. The Rashi is not very shver. How did Rashi say that it's because of the Issa, quote unquote, the Issa Tchumen Deraisa, literally, that's forcing us to interpret the word Babaykir to mean the first Echelod rather than Yontif. So we still have a lot of work to do with this Rashi. We still have the Tzorchim. We're still not sure what Rashi meant. But hopefully, B'et Hashem, next week, so we're going to take this Rashi and Taisus Machlekes and Pesachas Chagiga and use it to help us understand what's going on in Pesachim Daf Hamad Beis. Because again, we're not really learning the Sugya of Tchumen. We're really learning the general question, Yisuri Shabbos, Shalom B'Teres Malacha, do they spill over to Yontif or not? With the Nafkamina, first and foremost, being Havara, because Rabbi Akiva's whole Drashim HaTashbis was hinging on this. So we still have a little bit more work to do to fine-tune this Rashi and Taisus and to see what we could possibly extract and plug into our Sugya, which from next week we'll continue. Just in terms of scheduling for next week, Henry, should we obviously Friday is Purim and Thursday is Tais Esther. So should we just do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week?
Okay, that's fine with me.
That makes sense? Okay, good. Hopefully, the weather will be better. The roads will be clear. We'll be back in live.
Yeah.
So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem. So tentatively, we're back for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Next week, back in the nation at 6:20. Okay.
Rebbe, did you record this?
Yes, I'm recording. Yes.
Okay, is there someone